Won't you join us for our live stream Ask Me Anything this Saturday, the 8th at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern time? We'd love to have you there and talk to you live. To get in on it, you have to register. So go to growcastpodcast.com/AMA or hit the link in our Instagram bio and sign up. We'd love to talk to you. Wolfman will be there. Rich will be there. Rob will be there. We're going to do a little live stream, folks. Test it out. See how it goes. Please feel free to register. Also, the Purple Caper Seeds giveaway has ended. Stay tuned for the drawing. Thank you all for registering. Best of luck. We will shoot out those winners' emails today. But the good news is we have another giveaway going. That's right. We got our stuff together. If you go to growcastpodcast.com/giveaway, you can enter to win a free trim bag. Everyone, who couldn't use a free trim bag? If you got to trim a lot of bud quickly, it's a fantastic option. And just to get in on it, all you got to do is go to growcastpodcast.com/giveaway and sign up for your chance to win a free trim bag. Today we have Jeff Lowenfels. Oh my gosh. Organic Gardeners Rejoice. It's a great episode. I got nothing else to say. Let's jump right into it, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please share GrowCast with a friend, with a grower, with someone who you think would appreciate the show. We always appreciate you guys growing the show. Check out Homegrown Helpers with Rob Smith for more growing content. And my new show, The Coffee Health and Science Podcast. Loving The Coffee Health and Science Podcast. Today, we have an epic guest on. I consider our guest today truly the end boss of organic gardening. You know him from the Teeming With series, Teeming With Nutrients, Fungi, and Microbes. The one and only Jeff Lowenfels is on the line. How you doing, Jeff?
Oh, I'm so embarrassed. My goodness gracious. Woo!
I didn't want to set you up there, but there's a reason I said that, Jeff, and let me explain myself. You know, I have really talented and smart people on this program, like Stephen Raisner, the aquaponics specialist, or Chris Trump from Natural Farming, and they drop so much knowledge, and we love hearing from them. But when I ask them, who are you inspired by? What are your favorite resources? Your name comes up a lot. So I kind of consider you the organic end boss. Don't mean to set you up there in a high pressure situation, but it's true.
Well, I'm flattered. Of course, I learned my stuff from other people as well. And so, as long as everybody understands the guru of all this stuff is Elaine Ingham, we're in good shape. Nice. You gotta get her on the show at some point in time as well.
Oh, I'd love to. I would absolutely love to do that.
She's terrific.
But that's a good point, this organic gardening thing, and really all of human knowledge, it's like you build off of the shoulders of giants, right? Like, I'm sure there was a point where you stumbled across some resources and your inner spark was lit, right? And you were off and running.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, it was about 1996, that's what it was. A good friend of mine sent me a picture of a nematode that's in Teeming With Microbes getting strangled by a fungi, and that just set me right off. I was the biggest user of Miracle-Gro in the world, and I just converted instantly upon seeing that picture and never looked back. It's just, these things happen.
That's really cool.
And then what everybody doesn't seem to realize is that when you garden or grow things, you automatically share your knowledge with other people. It just happens.
Right.
And so it's just one of those things. If you're a gardener and another gardener asks you a question, you answer it. And that's the wonderful thing about this community. It doesn't matter whether we're in business against each other. We're all into the same thing. We're growing plants and we learn how to do it from each other.
I absolutely like that. What continues your passion to this day? You're still working in, organics, regenerative soil science, all the different terms for it. What gets you up in the morning today? Why are you still so passionate about this?
Well, every day there's a new discovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and so I love delving into these new discoveries. A lot of them are new to the academics, but maybe not so new to me and you.
Right.
And which always makes it fun. And then sometimes there's a discovery which I laugh at because I say, gee, if they'd only read the book back in 2006, they would have known that. Totally. I mean, the one that's going on this week is a series of Science Magazine articles about how the the plant, lo and behold, can adjust which microbes it attracts to its root system. Hello, where have these people been? I mean, that's the whole basis behind behind teaming with microbes and behind regenerative gardening. And, you know, it's the plant can change its exudates and bring in whatever it needs. If it needs a different kind of food, it changes the exudate and attracts that different kind of food. And it's hard for me to believe, that scientists at universities are just now
yeah.
writing papers on this stuff. You know, I mean, wow, holy crow. Anyway, I don't mean to be critical.
No, I totally get it. And you know, Jeff, that's actually a good point. I feel like there's almost a rediscovery once it enters the scientific world. Like a lot of this knowledge, you know, Chris Trump always talking about Korean natural farming and the ancient farming practices. It's the relearning process that we're observing under the new scientific model, you know?
Absolutely. And then and of course, in the instance of soil microbiology, I mean, the idea that you could use the kinds of pieces of equipment that we have now, back even 25, 30 years ago, it just would have been unheard of. And so, we can do DNA testing. We know how to, it used to be that Dr. Elaine would say, you know, about 90, 95 to 99% of the microbes in the soil, we don't know what they are because we can't breed them. So, you know, what did we used to do? We used to take soil particles and we used to put them in petri dishes, basically, and see what grew. You know, and we could grow certain things would grow terrific. We'd get great fungi, certain kinds, and great bacteria, certain kinds. But who knew what else was out there? We just, you know, the things that didn't eat what was ever in that auger plate
just weren't
there. Didn't grow
exactly.
They just didn't grow. So now, some guy at Northeastern University in Boston. Made a discovery and came up with a little system where they put these little boxes with the microbe in it in the soil and let them multiply in the soil. Wow, what a simple idea. Some college student came up with that idea, and now they've discovered something like 15 to 20 new antibiotics just in the past 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
Based on this new system. So and now we can DNA these things. We can take a soil sample and do a DNA analysis on them or an RNA analysis on them and pretty well tell what's in that soil. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So things have and every day there's something new coming out.
Yeah, the synergy is exciting.
And a lot of it is just so bizarre and exciting and it just extends our thinking. I mean, one of my favorite things to talk about in the past 4 or 5 months is something called rhizophagy. It's a way bacteria get into plants in a way that's similar, and they act similarly to mycorrhizal fungi. And they're sort of the analog to mycorrhizal fungi. And so what happens is they go into the plant, through the root tip. They go in the plant. They shed their cell walls. These are bacteria. And those cell walls contain nutrients, which the plant uses. The bacteria continues to travel in the root, goes out and causes the plant to sort of create a root hair. It goes out the tip of the root hair,
Whoa.
Gets its shell back on again, goes into the soil, gets more nutrients and
Whoa.
Goes back into the plant again. Rhizophagy. Unbelievable. You know.
So he's like stripping down every time he enters the house and like leaving a little bit of goodies in his coat pockets?
Yeah, or getting stripped down by the plant.
Whoa.
That does it. It's oxidation. So it's fascinating stuff. I mean, and so now we know that that it's not just the bacteria getting eaten and the poop from that eating that the plant takes in. It can actually take in the bacteria itself.
Whoa.
Whoa. Now, which plants do, which plants don't? We're not positive. Holy crow. Man, I mean, you know, so there's all this exciting stuff going on. And to me, it just being around a plant causes me to have these unbelievable metaphysical craziness thoughts. I mean, just to look at a plant and know that it's, you know, it's taking in bacteria, stripping off its shells, and that maybe the reason we have root hairs is not for the root to be able to go out into areas of the soil and get new stuff that it couldn't reach otherwise. But maybe it's because they're the launch pads for these bacteria. Holy crow.
Man.
You know, so all these things are coming. I mean, it's just, it's a terrific
book. So it's the fact that if you have an unending curiosity, this is the field for you, combined with you're aware of all these processes, which makes you look at a plant and see something divine.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it.
Oh, love it. That's my job, Jeff.
Yeah, and divine's the word. I mean, when you go up and touch a tree, you know, everybody always concentrates on teeming with microbes. And frankly, you know, it's a great book. It was a lot of fun to write. It's been translated into lots of languages and everything else. And I love it. But boy, when you take a look at some of these other things, teeming with fungi and teeming with nutrients, when I look at teeming with nutrients and finish reading that book or writing that book, and every time I finish looking at that book, I go out and I touch a tree.
Mm.
Now, when you touch a tree's bark, every single cell in that tree is connected to every other cell in that tree. And I don't mean because it's a neighbor to that cell. I mean, literally, you could get into a canoe and canoe from one cell through it to the next cell, to the next cell. There's a little series of holes between these. And so they're all connected. It's like it's like a big, gigantic beehive.
Wow.
And all these nuclei are working together. And everything else. So you touch that tree down at the base, and it could be a redwood. And if sensing that you're touching that tree all the way up at the top of the, you know, five, you know, anyway, so.
You're right, people, though. Yeah. The natural is supernatural.
Well, and people think plants are just these, you know, inanimate objects.
Yeah, stupid. Somehow inferior life forms.
They're phenomenal. And so I you know, when I deal with plants and that's the reason why I wrote Team with Nutrients. I mean, I needed to know what's going on in that plant. They're everywhere. Look at them all. Yeah. Anyway, so they're, you know, I go a little crazy on this stuff, and it's not because of cannabis. It's just because this stuff makes you do it. You know?
Oh yeah, for sure, man. And that's the thing. I'm a big fan of all these soil science superheroes, you know, and they come on my other show, the Coffee Health and Science podcast, where we talk about natural ag. So I'm deep in it too. And it excites me on a similar level as you. I want to quote something from an older episode, get your view on it, and then ask you a question. I mentioned, I may have mentioned Joshua Rutherford, another one of these regenerative soil science guys. We love Joshua Rutherford. He was on the show, and he was talking about his mental shift, specifically when he was switching to organic farming practices. He said the big shift in his mind was going from a mind state of killing things, keeping his environment sterile, killing unwanted pests, from that to a mindset of making life thrive, you know, the microbial life and the fungal life and trying to increase the life in his garden.
Yeah.
What do you think of that anecdote? And then follow-up question, if you could change growers' mindset about one thing, what would it be?
Well, I certainly agree with Josh. I mean, there's no question that when you are a non-organic gardener, you think you're in control, you're the boss, and you know, the plants are your slaves. Simple as that. You don't even think about it. The microbes and all that, those are just bad guys, and you kill them, you know.
Right.
Soil sterilization boxes and all that kind of stuff. All those things. I used to use all of those things. even though I grew up in a pretty organic household. I mean, I remember one night J.I. Rodale came to the house for dinner. You know, my father was pretty organic, except he sprayed his apple trees and he used Miracle-Gro because he was partly responsible for Miracle-Gro being put into business. So, you think you're in control. And then when you learn to become organic, you first of all learn that the plant is really in control and that you can only mess things up.
Mm.
So you have to be careful, but you also learn that the plant is your equal. You're just another organism on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta be cognizant of that, or you're just not gonna be I don't think you're gonna be a happy person.
Oh, I love that, tying in happiness there. Because I know exactly what you're talking about. There's a lot of you know, black market growers, like especially from back in the day when it was their job, they treat it exactly like an operation. I literally have heard someone make that distinction before, like, these are your girls, they need to perform for you, it's all about the bottom line. That's not a very compassionate or, like you said, happy or fulfilling mindset.
Well, it also doesn't allow you to think in terms of the plant.
Mm-hmm.
and And when you think in terms of the plant and you know, and when you think of the terms in terms of the planet, you know, regeneration, interesting word. I mean, is it different than organic? You know, I mean, all these words are potentially getting in the way, but there's no question that that a good grower is a grower that lets the plant tell them what it needs, lets the plant do its own thing. You know, that's just the whole basis of how we should be doing this.
That's a huge distinction.
It's so much easier.
Yeah. What a big responsibility to put on yourself to be like, I'm going to engineer every facet of this environment instead of thriving or rather encouraging the plant to do that itself.
Yeah. And pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, your costs are phenomenal as well. So the idea of course, treating the microbes, letting them do the work, feeding them as much as you possibly can, makes a tremendous amount of sense. And then the other things, you know, again, and I always go back to teaming with nutrients, which again is a book that when I wrote that book for me. I didn't write it for you or anybody else. Teaming with Microbes, I wrote for Elaine Ingham. But Teaming with Nutrients, I wrote for myself, and it just was such a bizarre thing to learn all these things that I would never have learned had I not been organic.
Yeah,
because the chemicals get in your way of figuring out what the plant processes really are. I mean, you become the microbes. You have to feed the plant. You have to do all the things that, you know, I mean, it's just such a complicated way of doing stuff. Anyway.
That's very succinct, man. That's a huge distinction and a big mindset shift, I think, that a lot of growers could use. What do you think is something that people misunderstand about organic cultivation or soil science, or just some misconceptions that we cannabis growers may hold in our minds?
Well, I think the first thing is people confuse the old system with the new system, the chemical system with the organic system, and think that the organic system should work as quickly as the chemical system, and of course it doesn't. And so I think the biggest problem people have is learning that, for example, if you're a vegetable gardener, you're growing in a seasonal situation, you need to feed your microbes in the fall so that they're, you know, ready and healthy and plentiful in the spring. You can't just feed them in the spring and expect them to be ready to go. And so that's one thing. The second thing, of course, is when you are cannabis or a vegetable grow, you're in a situation, as opposed to maybe perennial flowers, you're in a situation where you're violating the law of return, which is explained in Teaming with Nutrients. Not that I don't want you to buy Teaming with Microbes and Teaming with Fungi either, folks, but the law of return is what sort of fed the system before man, you know, or people got in the way. When things fell down from the tree, mm-hmm. it fell on the ground, the microbes broke it down, and it fed the tree.
Right.
And then the cycle just continued. Now, we come along with cannabis or vegetables, and we, of course, take the stuff that's supposed to fall down on that soil and feed the soil microbes. And so a lot of times what happens with the cannabis grower is then they'll figure their soil's no good. And they're not feeding it the right, you know. No, you can satisfy the law of return without throwing your soil away every time.
Mm.
And so I think people, you know, need to really think about how they do this stuff. Okay, so we're supposed to have a law of return. I'm breaking the law of return. How do I ameliorate for that? You know, all that kind of stuff people should be thinking about. Do I take my male plants, for example, and do I just throw them away?
Right.
No.
Yeah. What do you recommend to do with that?
What I recommend is, of course, first of all, you can use that stuff as part of your return on your soil. So you use it as mulch. I cut the plant right at the soil level. The root system I leave there, those roots have been dripping out exudates, cannabis exudates. Wow. For a plant. And why do I want to throw that soil away? That's crazy. You know, so I just plant right in that soil. It turns out that the roots will grow along the old root areas.
Wow.
So they become, they make it easier for the root to grow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, how could we have gotten this far?
And there's organic food right there for the, you know, for the microbes to eat the old roots to feed the new roots. Yeah. How did we get this far? Good question.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, that were there people like removing old roots from all the natural processes? Like, I've always been told in my synthetic training days that that was the enemy. You know what I mean? You would never want to just plant in the same old soil, but
no,
you do want to recharge it. You do want to regenerate it, and you do want to leave that natural process in there. So you're saying you just leave the roots right in?
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
And I don't nobody rototills. Yeah, that's organic food that's covered with, you know, that had a rhizosphere that had all sorts of, you know, phosphate helping bacteria and mycorrhizal fungal spores and all those goodies. Now, you know, so you ask, you know, how did we survive? I mean, you know, how the current system of chemicals, we are not surviving. That's the point people don't want to accept. Mm. We're not surviving. Look what it's doing to global warming. Look what it's doing to our soil depth every year. We're losing so much soil. Look what it's doing to our health. Mm-hmm. Look what it's doing to the nutrients in our foods. It doesn't work. And yet, because there's so much money involved, you know, we think it has to work. It is the work. It is, you know, it's, eh, you know. There was a terrific PBS program on a couple of days ago about the beginnings of the FDA, the food, taking a look at the chemicals that are in our food, and how we've gone from formaldehyde and, you know, up to terrible other stuff, but at least we've gotten rid of the formaldehyde. But they had literally had a team that would eat food, and they would take records, and they would see what was happening to these people. I mean, you know, now we're doing that on a universal basis for all humans.
Right.
So there's a reason why teaming with microbes makes sense, and teaming with fungi makes sense, and teaming with nutrients makes sense. It's because it describes a system that works without harming us.
Yes.
And that's what we have to have. And then you throw in everything which is in those books, and the stuff that's not in those books, because Greta wasn't around when those books were written. You know, we weren't worrying about climate change.
Greta wasn't around. It took me a second.
You know, you have to now add all of that in. So regenerative gardening and regenerative farming, organic gardening farming, now has an extra component of concern. Otherwise, you know, if we don't do it the right way, we're not going to have gardening in the next generation.
No, that's such Greta's, a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, what would Greta do is sort of my new phrase. And I know she'd team with microbes.
of course she would, Jeff.
But what else would she do? You know, she might give far fewer talks in person and do more on the web. Mm-hmm. She might, you know, I hate that idea, but I mean, you know, I love meeting people and talking to folks and signing books and all that stuff, but gee whiz, you know,
you start to think about that sort of thing. You absolutely do start to think about that sort of thing. And I'll tell you, the impact is insane.
Here's better.
Yeah, exactly. All right, before we get back to Jeff, let's give a little love to today's sponsor, Gorilla Grow Tents, everyone. You know Gorilla Grow Tents. Just go to GorillaGrowTent.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you free shipping on any order. And members of MyGrowPass.com get 10% off their tents plus free shipping. Gorilla Grow Tents, engineered by growers in San Francisco in 2011, specially designed to be strong, safe, smart, tall, odor-proof, stealthy, insulated, and durable, truly transcending the term grow tent. One great thing about Gorilla Grow Tents is their height extension kits. It comes with a free 1-foot height extender, which is awesome, but if that's not enough, they have a 2-foot height extender as well, which allows your tent to reach a height of nearly 10 feet. It's the tallest, thickest, and strongest grow tent on the market. So visit GorillaGrowTent.com today. Use promo code GROWCAST to get the free shipping. And members of MyGrowPass.com, saving 10% and the free shipping. Gorilla Grow Tents, everybody. Let's get back to Jeff Lowenfels. What's really opened my eyes, I want to touch on 2 points, first with coffee and then with cannabis. What's really opened my eyes, doing the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast, here's a statistic that you may find interesting. Coffee is the second most highly traded commodity on the planet behind crude oil. But the problem with coffee being the second highest traded commodity is it's also the most heavily treated crop. It's sprayed and sprayed and sprayed, and only 3% of coffee is considered organic. So first of all, I want to speak to what you just said, which is the the importance of this sort of thing. And synthetic ag on this large scale is doing horrible things to the South American countries that are producing it. And they're understanding that and they're taking action. And it's really cool working with the farms that are doing the regenerative ag. Jeff, you would love the emails that we receive from these farms in Colombia. I'm actually going to visit one. They're saying that when they've switched to these organic practices, Purity Coffee helped them buy some machine or whatever. Point is, they wrote us and they said, the wildlife is returning. They said that their products are doing better than ever. It was this whole, the sweetest long email. It was all broken English, but it was the sweetest long email about how regenerative ag is changing their farm.
Yeah, sure. I get quite a few of those. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's crazy. I do quite a bit of advising, and I work with a group and you know, so when you're in a place like a South American country, you know, Costa Rica, for example, or Central America, God, the damage to the workers. Forget the fact that you're eating the stuff. I mean, even before it gets to you, it's killing people left and right. It's craziness. If the coffee can't be grown organically, don't drink it.
Yeah, I
you know, seriously, totally. If we only have only 3% of that coffee is good, the rest of it is
it's so good. Oh my God. I want to take that quote. You're so right.
But it is the truth.
You're so right.
When we walk into Starbucks, we don't go in there and say, "Hey, you got which one of this is organic?" You know what I mean? It's just, and we should, we must, we have to. It's craziness. But unfortunately, we're not kidding around when we talk about organics and regenerative, and it's just such a serious business that people have got to start to pay attention, or we are not going to have, you know, another generation. It's just that simple.
It's absolutely right. And I also wanted to say what interests me about cannabis is, here's all this soil science research. Here's all this scientific development, organic science breakthrough. And it's happening around a plant that is really, really unique because there's such a high cost for it right now. People can afford to put in money to do lab testing. People can afford to put in money to do research because it's a cash crop right now. Does that make sense what I just said?
Well, a little bit. It's sort of a sick world we live in a way. I think it's a plant people should be growing on their own, and that the big guys should be growing it for building material, for antibiotics, you know.
I definitely agree. But I think the high price point is allowing for funding of research that wouldn't happen otherwise, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay, see, Sarah, now here's where I disagree with you. And, you know, of course, I wrote DIY auto flowering cannabis.
Oh no, please, enlighten me.
A new way to grow, and so I think this is the next tomato. I think every person who wants to have cannabis can and should be able to grow it just like a tomato plant, and I mean that in many different ways. Mm-hmm. These auto flowering cannabis plants, if listeners don't know what they are, they don't have a photo period, and they're about the size of a tomato plant, and you get yields on them that on an outdoor acre per acre basis are better than sativa and indica plants, and they grow in 7 to 9 weeks. So this is the next tomato. What I resent is the fact that government has taken the cannabis plant and created that high value by making it a gateway to taxation. So what my utopia would be, Dow Chemical and all those big boys, if they want to grow cannabis, grow it on an industrial level basis in order to be able to get chemicals out of it, in order to be able to make plastics out of it. Instead of using plastic, we can use, you know, and to be building construction materials,
right.
All the kinds of good
and all
stuff.
That, yeah.
And then you and I, you know, well, if we need cannabis, we grow our own, just like we grow tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or the supermarket sells, the cannabis so that we don't have to, I don't want to put growers out of business.
It's more accessible. And listen, I'm not defending high prices in any way. I totally agree with you. And I love how someone came on the show and was just crushing, I think it was Todd McCormick, was just crushing high cannabis prices. He was explaining how sunflowers are hard to grow and how they take a long time too, but you can still go pick one up for, you know, next to nothing. And how, like, in his world, that's where cannabis belongs and it should all be in our backyard and it should all be over.
Right.
I totally agree with all of that. But from a pragmatist point of view, I feel like right now, because it's high, there's more action going on than would be before. And maybe a lot of that action is like corporate interests, and maybe a lot of the research is going to be skewed, but it's some movement, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I do think a lot of it is corporate interests.
Yeah, you're probably right.
With anticipation that they'll be able to use the benefits of the research in a legalized situation. And when that does happen, once again, DIY auto flowering cannabis, my fourth book. This is for your mother and father and aunt and uncle, not for your professional grower. This is a plant they can now grow.
Right.
My wife, when she saw these plants and how gorgeous they were and how just delicious smelling the ones that I happened to try, she just got so excited about it. She was telling all her friends, you got to try these plants. Look at this. It's like, now it's legal here. You can't theoretically do it where it's illegal, but these are unbelievable plants. I mean, and I encourage people who maybe have tried auto flowering cannabis plants back in the day when they first came out, they were terrible.
Right.
Now they equal or exceed my expectations with regard to cannabis, whether it's sativa, indica. These auto flowers are every bit as good and usually much better.
Wow, man, that's a bold statement. I know there's been a lot of refinement.
I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to say in the next 5 years, all the cannabis that you buy at a dispensary is, and all the hemp product you'll buy is going to be autoflower.
Damn, that is a bold prediction. I love it. We've talked about autoflowers being the future just because if they are being refined so much and if they are catching up with the desirable traits of photoperiods, as long as there's no end to that in sight, we're just going to have a plant that doesn't have a photoperiod, that flowers a little bit faster and has all the same desirable traits, the oils and the potency and the yield.
That's right. Not a little bit faster. I mean, incredibly faster. 7 to 9 weeks seed to harvest.
Right.
7 to 9 weeks. And of course, I think people will work it to make it 5 to 9 weeks,
That's what I'm thinking. And, yeah. Why not?
Yeah. And, for those of us that are interested in land races and everything else, I mean, I think this is a breeding tool that enables us to do some very exciting stuff. So I wrote that book because I was having fun and I just kept thinking of my mother who's passed away, how much fun she would have, even though she was, pretty much against the idea of cannabis, how much fun she would have growing these plants. When you put a seed in the ground, an autoflower, and 2 weeks later, the flower has already started. You go,
that is really cool.
It's Twilight Zone. I'm old enough to remember that TV show. Maybe you're not, but
I love Twilight Zone, man. I've watched every episode. You're right. I am too young, but I went back. And yeah, Rod Serling, I'm right there with you. Imagine this: a plant that grows in 2 weeks. No, it is not fantasy.
Exactly.
Don't Rod Serling.
Yeah. And it would have been just phenomenal. But anyway, that is the future. And of course, you can grow those organically as you can grow everything organically. So teaming with microbes fits right in with it all. It was a lot of fun to write because, I had to sit down and figure out, I know cannabis, but what does my mother need to know? She needs to know not to call it marijuana. She needs to know why it's illegal and that it's not based on science. It was based upon, stupidity. She needs to know, she needs to know some of the strains. And,
right.
And then she needs to know, what is this cannabinoid system and flavonoids and what is all this stuff? Because it's a new world out there. And, to swing back a little bit, We don't look at sativa anymore or indica anymore. We look for myrcene and
those terpene profiles.
And we're going to start learning those things. It's going to change the whole experience. It's going to become like drinking wines.
Yep.
And if you want to get Gallo, you get Gallo. You want to get whatever, highfalutin, you get it.
Yeah, baby. Fun. I'm all about it. But yeah, breaking that barrier though, and turning cannabis into the house plant. I think the photoperiod is a big barrier that, once broken, really helps us overgrow the nation, I would hope.
Oh my God, it's such a difference. I live in Alaska, and so of course, our photo period. September 21st, we can start seeing flowers, but on September 22nd, we can get a hard frost. So
that's crazy.
It doesn't help us. But these auto flowers, all of a sudden, holy crow! The crop last year from my six plants was just phenomenal. And I got to start another crop right afterwards. So I got two crops. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Love it, man.
Places, absolutely places where you're, you know, you're limited in Australia, you know, now there's some legal places, you know, the capital territories. Now you can have four or I think it's five, six plants. I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But if you have auto flowers, you can get six plants every 7 to 9 weeks.
Yeah, totally. So,
yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And when you put them on 2 foot center, on 2 foot centers outdoors, they grow 6,000 pounds an acre versus maybe 3,000 to 4,000 pounds for the bigger guys.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, they've developed, they're all flower. It's just the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen. It's just, I get as excited about auto flowers as I do about teaming with microbes.
That's really great, man. I'm glad that you're repping the auto flower world. One thing that I realized and never really appreciated is the fact that as a photoperiod grower and like a perpetual grower, I did a lot of cloning, and auto flowers needing to be grown from seed, it can't really clone them. If they do blow up and they do get big, that's going to be a huge need, right? Isn't there going to be a need for an incredible amount of these high quality seeds, like on a constant basis?
Well, I think there already is.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy, yeah. Man. That's good. That's a whole new industry. Cuttings kind of, you don't really have that same, you know, volume.
That's right. And there will be seeds. And I think at some point in time, you know, my utopia, you'll be able to walk into a Lowe's or a Home Depot or your local nursery in the springtime. And, you know, there'll be 10 different kinds of cannabis plants you can buy. You know, you'll go to your seed rack. You'll go to your seed rack and in the springtime. And, gee, there's a bunch of, holy crow, there's Professor Genetics, Hubba Bubble, you know, seed.
Yeah.
You know, so that's going to be the time.
Yeah.
And you know, we're getting close. We're getting closer. I mean, only half the stores that sell cannabis books put them behind locked windows.
Yeah, totally.
It used to be they all did. And even before that, you couldn't find the book. So things are changing. We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. And it's because of shows like yours that we do so. So I really appreciate your having me on.
Of course, man.
And all those other people. You know?
I appreciate you. Why don't you start yourself a podcast? Is that something you've ever considered?
You know, I'm 70 years old. Oh, my God.
That's, you're never too old to start podcasting, man.
Yeah, I know you're never too old, but don't you think it'd be a lot better for the world if I just maybe wrote another book?
Yeah, actually, I do. I do think so. Yes, we need more books.
I don't know. I think about it.
We appreciate you, though. We appreciate you.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and I certainly hope that anybody wants to sort of follow what I'm doing. Let's see, I'm Gardener Jeff on Instagram. I speak all over the place. My goodness gracious! So
teaming with series, obviously, found everywhere.
Yeah, teaming with microbe stuff. So I speak all over the place. I'm actually going to Ireland. I'm going to be speaking in Dublin. If anybody out there is listening,
oh yeah, we got some Irish listeners.
No kidding! I'd love to hear from them. I'm going to be there. Let's see. I guess I'm going to be there on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Is a big Dublin conference, so I'm going to go.
March?
That'll be fun. Yeah, of March.
Perfect.
So if any of your listeners are listening, tell them to get in touch with Jeff at gardener.com. Then I'm going to Australia in April. That'll be fun too. So
nice. Is this all soil science, or is it cannabis specific?
Yep.
Or
No. The Dublin one's cannabis, but soil. And then the one in Australia is soil. We're lining up, I think, a cannabis one.
Right.
You know, and then I travel around all over the country, and, you know, people need advisors and do all sorts of stuff. So
that's great. Well, you're going to get an extra flood from my audience. They love checking out the guests, and you truly are a legendary one, sir. I thank you for taking the time.
No. It's you know, I'm not the legendary one. All I did was, you know, write down stuff that other scientists put together. And, you know, I'm the lucky one. So
I love that.
Hopefully everybody else will be able to, you know, touch the luck a little bit and pass it on themselves, because I think that's the other thing about all of this. When you learn the regenerative organic style, you can't help but pass it on to other people.
Totally.
It's infectious, thank goodness.
It is, and I've said it again and again. I see synthetic growers switch to organic and never make the switch back. I never see it the other way around. I've never seen an organic grower go to synthetics and go, I'm never going back.
I love it. You know, it's like the garden, you know, I'm a member of a group that we used to be called the Garden Writers of America. Now we're called Garden Communicators of America, of Garden Communicators, something like that. I don't know what it is, but I can't think of one of us, not one garden writer that's not organic. Mm-hmm. I can't think of one. I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy. I remember 1973, I remember the Life magazine had a picture of a woman that she was supposed to be a hippie, but she wasn't. She was too well-dressed. You know, carrying a bag. It was a cloth bag, you know, and she had her organic food in it. And it was Life magazine's first articles about organic food.
No kidding.
1973.
Whoa.
Woo! So we've come a long way, and again, with shows like yours, we'll get a lot further. So,
Jeff, this is one of the best interviews I've ever done, man. Thank you so much for doing this.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank awesome. You. Everyone give him a follow. Find him at gardener.com, everything that's going on. I'd love to speak to you again sometime, man. Anytime, if you want to, anything's going on in your world, you want to talk to the growing audience, you know, all the growers across America and beyond, we'd love to have you back anytime.
Sure. Well, you just give me a call when you need me.
You're awesome, Jeff. All right, everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. This is Jeff Lohenfels and Jordan River signing off, wishing you the best of luck in your grows. Be safe out there, people, and grow smarter. That's our program for the day. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you all. I hope you learned something. If GrowCast is helping up your game, well, we have a couple things we'd love to ask of you. First, if you could just give us a rating and review, we sure would appreciate that. Make sure you're subscribed. Give us a good rating. Give us a good review. It really helps the show. I know I say it a lot, but it helps more than you might think. You can also support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/growcast. And for every month you support us, we give you 2 tickets into our 5K giveaway. So that's an added bonus. Shout out to Illinois Cannabis Consulting. Just go to IllinoisCannaConsulting.com for all your consulting needs. Let's get growing, people. Illinois and beyond. IllinoisCannaConsulting.com. That's all for today, folks. We'll get back at you soon. Best of luck out there. Love you guys. Bye-bye.